feet. Knocks off number one Indiana.
Brent Spillane continues to be the hottest thing in college baseball.
The Illini win it over Ohio State 28-21 at the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Darren for the tie. He got it.
Oh,
he got it. 80-80.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oski Talk. We're very excited. Anthony Pasquale here with Patrick Catazone to be back in person, back on campus, and back talking to you guys, our great fans.
Yeah, we're finally back on campus, so the podcast production goes up quite a bit. Yeah, it really gets a lot better when we're back on campus.
And we've got a lot of things planned for not only this semester, but 2020 summer. As a whole. Yeah. We're going to try to make the podcast as great as we can for you guys and keep pumping out Illini content as best we can.
Yeah, and we got a lot planned for you this year, and I think this is really more or less our kickoff this year, because when we're away, it's not the same. Yeah. We're much better when we're
together. This is our 2020 start, you know, and speaking of a lot of good to talk about with Illini sports, you know, Illinois football obviously made a bowl, didn't win, but that's a ton of progress from where they were before. And our basketball team was ranked 24th last week, and now they're up to 21.
Yeah, we're finally, first time we've been ranked. Yeah, for a long, long time. I think 2014 was last time. After that Gonzaga win with the, I think Brand Paul was on that team. I don't think he was. I think it was his first year out. Maybe it was Malcolm Hill. But I know Nana Agui was on that team. Regardless, we're finally ranked. Big wins against Wisconsin. At Wisconsin was huge. That, I think that's the biggest win of the year. Rutgers at home was a nice continuation.
Yeah.
Northwestern, I mean, you squeak by, but I was never at any point
in
worried
yeah,
that we were going to lose that game.
The thing is, there's two things I want to say. First of all, just to give you guys, I'm sure you all know, but a little recap. Last time we talked to you guys was before the Michigan State game. Illinois lost that one. They fought pretty tough and then kind of fell off towards the end. But since then, they've rattled off four straight wins against Purdue, Wisconsin, Rutgers, and Northwestern. And all of a sudden sit at 21 in the country. Really good spot for the Illini to be. And I think the biggest key to them being where they are now is the emergence of Alan Griffin.
Yeah.
I really think so.
I think so, too. I think I actually like him on the bench still.
Yeah, me
just
too.
Just after this game, I'm going to get a lot of heat for this because I for a week or two have been saying that Alan Griffin should start. Except he was really hot. He's still a really good player, but he was super hot, and maybe you put him in the lineup in those couple games. I think he's cooled down just a little bit. He's still, you could make the argument he's almost right there with Demonte in terms of defense, but I think Demonte's defense has been solid.
Mm-hmm.
You've been winning all these games with this starting lineup. It just doesn't really truly make sense to shake up the lineup and shake up the rotations.
Yeah, I agree with that, and here's the other thing. I don't care if your name's called when the game starts. But if you play starters minutes, I don't mind.
Right.
And that's Griffin, what Alan Griffin has been doing. He's been playing about 20, 25, maybe even
I think
up to 28.
Up 28 at one point.
Where at one point it was like Demonte 25, Alan like 15. Then it kind of turned into 20-20. Now Alan's getting more and Demonte's getting less, which I think is smart. I think same with Feliz. I like Feliz and I like Griffin off the bench because I think they add a lot of versatility when some other teams might be getting a little tired.
Yeah, I think it was, I want to say it was 26 minutes for Alan Griffin in the Northwestern game, 24 for Demonte.
I'll check it right now.
Yeah, you could double check that. It might have been the Rutgers game. I can't really remember, but, you're almost there. I like him coming off the bench. I think he'll probably get sixth man of the year for Big Ten. You might as well keep that going. Oh, Alan Griffin only had 15 that last game?
Yeah, and Demonte had,
I think he got into foul trouble, 15. Though, right?
Oh, yeah, he did get into foul trouble. They really rode Trent and Io hard in that Northwestern game.
Right, Trent had a really
30
good game.
Or more minutes, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too. Trent had a really really good game. This felt like, for at least a half, that this was the Trent Frazier game.
Yeah,
and then you get reminded that Io DeSamu is one of the best players, if not the best player in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's his team.
It is,
and we at the beginning of the year, all we kept saying is, you know, if he wants to be a draft prospect, we got to see it. We got to see him take over games. We need to see this. We need to see that. And quietly, he's doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. He's up to averaging almost, what, 13, 14 points a game, which is, I think, a point more than he was last year. He has to do less offensively this year because of Kofi Coburn's emergence on this team. And in the clutch, he was 4-for-4 from the line and made the dagger 2 against Northwestern.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy you want the ball in his hands.
Yeah, that was the point in the game where I was like, yeah, this is Iowa's team. I had to switch up my lead a little bit because I wrote it that it was the Trent Frazier game that you'll remember from the season. But it ended up being, you know, both Iowa and Trent who shined in it.
And that's what we've been begging for, right, you know, guard exactly. production like that.
Yeah, at times this year I've said that Trent Frazier is just completely missing from his team. You know, the fact that he had a great game and Iowa also follows him up with 15 points, like, that's a great sign. I was at the game. I was in the press conference or in the press box, and State Farm Center let two random ladies sit next to me, fans, and I was like, all right, like, what? Anyways, they're cheering. I'm just kind of sitting quietly, and that play comes up that very end, the dagger two from Iowa, and I was like, you gotta give it to Trent here, right? He's the hot hand, but and Iowa at that point I think was only at 10 points ish.
Plus. Trent was wide open, too.
Yeah.
Io just knew that was his shot.
It's his shot. It's his team. That's the play this year that really cemented that Io is a draft prospect. This is his team, and he's leading it. The streak that we've had is because of Io.
Yeah, let's face it. It was very reminiscent of the Michigan State Dagger 3, mm-hmm. too. But you bring up a good point. I think I might have been a little far-fetched to say that this winning streak is because of Alan Griffin's emergence. However, I think his prominence as a player sparked it, and now the offense is clicking, which is allowing Io to really lead this team.
Yeah, if you could get Coburn, back to my old ways. Coburn and Dasamu going on the same game, you're good. Those two need to have great games almost every game. And then if you could find someone else who could match that and have another good game as well, whether that's Allen, Feliz, Trent, or Georgie.
Okay, we need more out of Georgie.
Yeah, you need more out of Georgie. But if one of those four guys can step up with them, you're going to win the game.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. At the beginning of the year, we weren't saying, like, Allen Griffin wasn't in that conversation, you know? And Feliz really wasn't either. These two guys have really been huge bench presence. Mm-hmm. Then you got DeMonte, who's giving you good minutes too. Like, he's not a liability when he's out there. He's not great offensively, but he's not going to hurt you too much. And then maybe one more guy from the bench can emerge. I don't know if it's Tev. You know, we want it to be Tev because it seems like talent-wise he's the guy, but I don't know if it's him. I don't know who it might be. Kipper had a pretty good game against Northwestern. Whoever that might be to really complete the rotations, mm-hmm. you know, this team's close to being really, really good.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The one thing I will say that I feel like I learned a little bit more from this Northwestern game was they had a hard time cracking the zone at times.
I think that might just be from the fact that they don't play zone all that much.
They don't. On top of that, the ball movement kind of stopped when, you know, the offense wasn't working because of the zone, which was problematic because mm-hmm. if they move the ball around a little bit more, they break the zone pretty easily. Those were the times I was like, you know what, Alan Griffin should be in here, not DeMonte. Maybe even to start the game is when Northwestern goes to zone because that's just another wing that can shoot the three. You know, if you dribble, kick out, Alan Griffin in theory is open.
Yeah, right. And he's going to get, like, I don't care how well he's playing, he's going to get less attention than Trent or Io or Georgie.
Right.
So, he, like you said, he'll be open.
Right. And here's where it worries me more is that there's going to be teams this year, and I'll point one out, that I think will run the zone pretty well against us. Iowa, who is going to run this, and we're going to struggle a little bit. So those are the games that, you know, when they have a good big man like Luke Garza and they're running a zone, we're going to struggle in that game because Kofi Coburn is not going to get touches.
Yeah.
And we're shooting, I think, 29% from three this year. Like, we're not a three-point shooting team. So if we can't move the ball, drive in, and score buckets, this offense stalls.
It does. But I think more and more experience playing that zone will help as well.
I agree. And I think the more you go into Big Ten, you'll see it a little bit more. But the three-point shooting needs to get better.
Yeah.
I end of the line of my whole rant about the trouble with Northwestern was, if we can shoot the three better, this is a true blowout. But we shot it all right. I think we were 35% that night. But if you kick out better and have good games like that and move the ball, that Northwestern game should have been a blowout. Yeah. Defense wasn't great either in this game, but they looked better down the stretch.
And they grinded out a win. Right. And that's the biggest thing. Kofi's been great. A great addition to this team. He's played really well, averaging almost a double-double on the entire season. But I need to see a little bit more out of him, too. I think in some of these big games, he just doesn't show up. And I don't know if that's good game planning and good defense on other talented Big Ten coaches' teams' parts, which definitely could be, but it just seems like sometimes he doesn't have the ball security that you'd want to see out of a 7'1" guy, you know?
Yeah, you're right. A lot of that, I feel, comes from the fact he's a freshman.
Yeah, and he doesn't play the
game. He hasn't played the game that much, and he's getting better, and he's definitely not going to get drafted this year, let's be real. We thought he was when he was playing non-conference games that he should dominate.
Yeah.
But,
and that's not to discredit him at all. It's just this is better competition. But nonetheless, this Illini team is back in action tomorrow night against Purdue at Purdue. Illinois beat them here in a blowout, 63-37. Definitely going to be closer, but I think I like the Illini.
Actually, I like Purdue in this one. If you look at KenPom, we're actually projected to lose, I believe, 6 of the next 7. The only game that we're supposed to win is home against Minnesota. You look at the schedule, you have Iowa away, Michigan away, Purdue away. Michigan away, I think, is probably the other win that you might get out of this one.
I think we'll win either against Michigan State or Maryland at home.
At home, hopefully you split one of those. I'm just saying KenPom rankings, what's supposed to happen. I don't necessarily believe this will happen.
Right, okay.
That being said, West Lafayette's one of the hardest places to play at.
Yeah, in the Big Ten, for sure.
Mackey Arena is a really, really hard place to play. I wouldn't expect the Illini to win this game, but...
Hey, but Dockage is on the call, so that usually means we win.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I can't wait for that. I don't see us winning, but it'll be close. If I had to give a score prediction, which I will, I'd say 64-60 Purdue.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in the 60s. I think these are two teams that are more ground and pound than like flashy. I know Illinois can play that way, but that's not really who they are. I like Illinois, let's say 65-61.
All right, I like that. They do have the size advantage in this game. They have a lot of things going for them. Good forwards. Coburn should get a lot of touches. If that happens, they win this game. But I think Mackey Arena will take the bigs out of the game.
Yeah, they might. But then you gotta, hope that 3-point shooting.
Right.
Maybe it's Trent's game, maybe it's Io's, maybe it's Allen's.
Don't count on it.
But one of those three, maybe they'll step up. Or who knows? Maybe this is the Georgia game that we're waiting for. Could happen. We'll see.
We'll see. On that note, let's talk a little bit about the football team. Gil Bird, the safety coach, is leaving the program. Bird was with Lovie Smith for a long time. He was there, I believe, Rams, Bears, and Buccaneers.
All with Lovie.
Right, all with Lovie, and kind of sad, but I think it was expected. Apparently, his recruiting is not great.
Yeah, they also lost the defensive line coach. I don't remember who it was, but they had a coach coaching the entire defensive line that went to the Dolphins to coach the Dolphins, and they ended up hiring two guys, one for the tackles and one for the ends, to replace them, which I think probably smart so they could get more focused on their particular craft.
Yeah, absolutely. It was Austin Clark who left, and he actually came from USC, which is how we got a lot of those USC grad transfers. And I think that, without our USC, our big USC defensive end, Petiku leaving, that maybe that played a little bit of a role in it. But yeah, good for people are really upset about this, and how I think it was Aurelius Ben. It was some former alumni. It was like, oh, he's so selfish for leaving. It's not. He's growing. It's his career. He deserves to make the choices he believes.
No coach is ever going to be upset about that.
No.
You hire these coaches – to be with you. But when they get a better opportunity, that's kind of like,
can't get mad
that's
at
a
that.
Pat on your back, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
And then as players too, players leaving, transferring, going wherever they want to succeed, that's a pat on the back for a coach too. Like, I read an article that Zion Williamson actually asked Coach K if he could stay, and Coach K said no. Go to the NBA. That's where your career is going to blossom. So, I mean, obviously you want to win. You want the best coaching staff and the best players here, but it's also about these guys' careers, and I think Lovey and D'Alina know that.
Yeah, and you know,
they made some good hires too.
They hire Alfred Davis for defense tackle, Jimmy Lindsay for defensive ends. Good hires. I actually believe, you know, what they did is they switched up the coaching staff a little bit. Instead of having a safeties coach, they made Kenoto Hudson, the corners coach, into a D-backs coach. He'll do the whole defensive back, which I like.
Which is smart, too, because some players like Tony Adams plays safety and corner. Having that versatility in the secondary where we were really banged up last year would be good to have in the future.
On top of that, the skill that we have at defensive back is so good that
if
Kenoto Hudson, who's a good coach coming from FAU, it was a good hire last year. If he can coach them up a little bit even more, like, we're good. Like, there's so much skill
then
in the
secondary. Then he might be seeing some NFL money, too.
Or some bigger college offer. But he can coach them up just a little bit. We're good. The defensive end and the line in general is where it's starting to look a little thin, and we need to coach up some guys a little bit better.
Yeah.
So I like these two as a hire.
If you're looking at our defensive line, or our defense as a whole, that's where we need to grow right now because linebackers are still pretty much in place.
Yeah.
I know you're losing Daly Harding. That's a huge loss. But you got Hanson, you got Milo, and you got a couple of guys that filled in for Hanson when he was hurt.
Shamon Cooper coming up. Like,
and
you got guys.
You should be all right linebacker-wise. You're definitely all right secondary-wise. But last 2 years, you lost Roundtree, Batiku now, and then
Jackson.
Yeah, graduated. Or graduating. So they're going to need to replenish that line a little bit, and I think hiring two coaches, one to focus on the ends and one to focus on the tackles, is a very smart thing to do for the Illini.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, Gil Bird wasn't a great recruiter, and these guys have better recruiting backgrounds from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, let's finish out this podcast. Because it was the new year, your Illini New Year's resolutions. Excuse me.
New Year's resolution. I don't know if this counts, but you got to be dancing in March. You have to.
Yeah, I'm going to follow mine up with the football one.
I think if you're ranked at any point in the year, especially once it gets to the new year, you better be dancing. So I know they got a tougher schedule ahead. Keep cranking out the wins, and Selection Sunday is going to be fun.
Yeah, I like that one. I feel like mine's the obvious one. I was trying to think of something that was, like, bigger. Brandon Peters Heisman. Nah, just kidding. 9 wins in football should be the goal. I don't care if you get that last win in the bowl game or you get in the regular season. Try and get to 9 wins. It's difficult, but that's the obvious step forward from 6 wins. I think it's 8. 7 is just another year, you know what I mean? Mostly when, you know, our 2021 is projected to be not great. You need 8
this
wins
year. Also, you know what?
9.
I want to see some Illini in the NFL. Like, maybe Corbin to the Bears or something like that. Speaking of Illini in the NFL, Nick Allegretti has a shot at a Super Bowl.
Yes, he does. And
go Chiefs.
Josh, I think it was Josh Allen. I can't think of his name, but former tackle won it last year with the Patriots, or 2 years ago with the Patriots.
Ted Karras won it.
That's who it was. That wasn't Allen. Ted Karras. But, yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah, maybe he'll bring it down to Champaign for a day.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to Oski Talk. Make sure you tune in Mondays and Tuesdays. I am Patrick Cazzone for Anthony Pasquale, ILL.
I.
We'll be right back.